Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy, this experience was so great to be able to respond to some conversations that you've started with me, both introspective about my own business and what I can think differently and how I can approach the business differently, but also to now respond to some new shocks that none of us have ever seen. I mean, we're combining three different years, 1918, 1968, and 2008, all this year, but to talk through it with your listeners and to talk through it through your framework has been extremely helpful. So thank you for being my mentor, and thank you for helping me think through these issues along with your clients.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today, Matt Clark is joining me from his mobile phone to discuss how he is working with business owners as they are navigating this financial upheaval in small businesses since coronavirus hit us in mid-March. So we will focus today's conversation on the payroll protection process or program, and also some things that you haven't thought about regarding financial planning at this time. So today's sponsor is Sally Doyle, who has sponsored many of our podcasts. Thank you, Sally. Sally just rebranded her company to Great Lakes Bookkeeping. Yeah, we gave her a We Mentor makeover. So I'll tell you more about that as when we have a conversation with her in the upcoming weeks. Great Lakes Bookkeeping not only provides relief from the boring and tedious bookkeeping tasks, but also uses the information as a roadmap to advise owners of opportunities that can help their business. With over 20 years of experience and expertise, owners trust Sally to help them achieve their goals and dreams. Right now, she has an offer to help businesses quickly understand whether the recent government Paycheck Protection Program can help you bridge the coronavirus disruption. I'll have more information for you at the end of this episode on how to get this offering. And it's very timely with today's guest. Now, we've got Matt Clark here. Hi, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Nancy.
Hey, how are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm feeling great. I wanted to thank you, and apparently we also need to thank Sally for sponsoring us today and allowing me to sneak away from the working from home, working with kids at home. We've got four boys. And so this has been really nice to sneak away to the studio, quote unquote, to broadcast with you.
Excellent. Yeah, four boys, not easy. And you also kind of took a few minutes before we got on air to fill out the We Mentor Self-Awareness Mentoring Journal to check in with yourself and get grounded. How are you feeling right now in this moment?
I would say in this moment, I've got to share with you, I feel a little bit disconnected. I share, being away from the kids for the first time since March, I feel a little bit disconnected and a little bit courageous to have done that and under a bit of pressure, but the pressure is good to be able to chat with you about some of the steps that I think business owners who likely are feeling that same way, what they can do to find some inner peace in all of this. And so I am curious, how would I have filled out this form, this self-awareness mentoring journal a week ago or a month ago or 3 months ago? Because we've really gotten into a time machine, haven't we?
Yeah, time warp.
I mean, we're back to like 1918 and 1968 and 2008, all in the course of about 12 weeks.
Exactly. Yeah. So how are you're hanging in there with all of this?
I'm hanging in there. You know, I think that Harvey McKay puts it best, that a truly happy person is one who can enjoy the scenery while on a detour. And we are on a heck of a detour, right? I mean, when all of us saw the ball drop January 1, none of us thought this is where we would be on July 27th.
Yeah, absolutely not. Right. And it was not part of any of our plans. And so all of us have been kind of taking the opportunity to kind of regroup and re-envision the direction that we want to go, because this is lasting a lot longer than we had anticipated, you know, well into next year. And so all of our lives are still, you know, extraordinary. Yeah. So let me give the listeners a little bit of background about you. So Matt Clark is the Vice President and Relationship Manager for U.S. Bank's Twin Cities Emerging Business Group. I met Matt when I was facilitating a Tips Club networking group a while back, and Matt and I just had the best time every month when we were meeting together. I just really look forward to it because you always shared such wonderful, you know, insightful things that are going on in the economy that was really brought a lot of value to the meetings. Thank you for that.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, Matt works primarily with businesses generating up to $35 million in annual revenues. So Matt is responsible for delivering the scope and scale of a large bank with the service and touch of a small bank. Matt enjoys advocating for his clients to power their potential. What do you mean by that, Matt?
So we really enjoy taking clients where they are and helping them get to where they want to be, whether that is in a potential expansion or growth or a repurposing of their business. And so when a client wakes up in the morning and looks at themselves in the mirror and says, what is the potential of my business? I find happiness and joy in helping them get there. So, of course, this is that detour that I shared with you, that we're having to think differently about how we help clients reach that potential, because what that potential looks like on July 27th is very different than maybe what they imagine that potential looking like in January, February of this year.
Yeah. And especially during the month of August.
Yeah.
You know, things are really changing constantly. So
yeah.
You've been volunteering, which has brought another dimension to your life work. As a board director with the Goal Line Club, you've supported the Golden Gopher football. How has that worked?
I would say it's worked very well since the arrival of PJ Fleck. I mean, Coach Fleck's mentality is row the boat, as you know. The idea that all of us at some point in life have to just continue to take the next step, putting one foot in front of the other, or in this case, the oar in front of the oar, and moving it and overcoming a goal. And if ever row the boat were more appropriate than now, I can't think of it, because I've got the sign in my office that says today's goal is to be 1-0. Let's row the boat. We got to be 1-0 in the Wisconsin season or 1-0 in the Iowa season. And I sure hope for all the positivity that PJ has brought to the program that we're able to safely get Gopher football back this fall, because the fairy tale ending last year in Tampa with the win over Auburn was just a fantastic endpoint to a really historic season for the Gophers.
Yeah.
So my job as a director is to help bring financial review and fundraising to help PJ and the Gopher football program raise money and raise awareness for the program.
Well, and another organization that you have brought a lot of value to, and you were recognized for it as Man of the Year in 2013 for raising $44,000 for cancer research at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And you're also, you know, involved in your four kids' schools. They're all at different ages, 10, 8, 5, and 3, where you volunteer teach the finance for fourth graders at your children's elementary school.
Yeah. So for those that are wondering how that works, it's basically starting out a la Ben Stein. If you remember the movie or the television series Wonder Years, when Ben Stein would go up and talk in really boring language about finance or science, in that case, I start the class doing the exact same thing about assets, liabilities, equity, ownership, dilution. And then I say, forget about it. Let's just play Monopoly. And then we walk the kids through the series of Monopoly, and we take them through the importance of passing go, which is kind of the rhythm of life. Ever in your life, you will pass go a certain number of times. And then what we try to do is talk to the kids about velocity and investment and how earning money along the way of pass and go can start to be what as a result of the decisions that you make and the borrowing that you do and the investment that you make. And all of a sudden the light bulb goes off when the kids start turning the cards over and using the cards to finance additional purchases, which then creates additional opportunities. So we make finance fun for fourth graders by looking at Monopoly through a couple of different lenses.
Oh, that's so fantastic. It's the most popular game in the world. And to
I didn't know that, really. It is.
You didn't?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It's everybody's grown up with Monopoly. Yeah. Oh. It's a fantastic game to learn about property and just kind of getting ahead and following the rules and things happen on your journey. You know, another game, too, is called Cash Flow.
Okay.
That is worth purchasing. Guy Kawasaki. He was the founder of that game, and it's the most expensive money game. It takes about 3 hours, but it's really fantastic. I've played it with a small business finance group and also with other couples. And I haven't played, well, I think we played it with Olivia maybe once, but it's as your kids get older, it's a great transition game from Monopoly to cash flow.
Okay. Well, so would you recommend maybe that's finance for seventh graders or finance for eighth graders, or what do you think the appropriate level is for that one?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think 13 on up.
Okay.
Because you are given a profession and it doesn't matter which profession, but you have to make it out of the rat race.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the concepts are easy enough. Like, this is how life is if you get a job and you work this way. And then there's some special things that you can do along the way to get out of the rat race and get into kind of a more cash flow place where your cash flow is replacing a salary.
Sure.
Based on investments and real estate that you purchase along the way. It's really, yeah, it's one of the best games that I've ever played in trying to understand how our economy works and different perspectives on, you know, because most of us are raised as an employee and not as an employer or entrepreneur. And so that helps you think about it and your career in a different way. I just also wanted to acknowledge that you graduated from the Carlson School of Management at the University of Minnesota with 2 degrees, one in business administration, and then you took the business administration to the master's degree level, earning your MBA. You've been in banking since 2005, serving as an analyst, an SBA lender, and a commercial real estate lender, and you joined U.S. Bank in 2011. So in your free time, you enjoy spending time with Heather, your wife, and your 4 boys, along with running and reading, and your 4 boys, James, Henry, William, and Joseph. 3 to 10. Wow, that's quite a spread.
Yeah, and we're done. I mean, we love the family, but we're going to hold with 6. I'm just short of a basketball team, but we'll make it work. Heather or I can step in and be the 5th player once in a while.
It's good to have those decisions clear.
Yep.
Your role was different at home, you know, until it changed in March. So can you tell us a little bit about how that went for you and your family, you and Heather?
Sure. So, but prior to March, I think before, what was it, March 18th, when the governor issued the stay-at-home order, everything was just kind of going as usual. And then we heard of this virus that was overtaking China. And then all of a sudden, it really started to grow in Seattle and then in New York. And when we started to see that, the bank had to look at that. And then we started to see that the government was going to react differently to it. And so Heather and I needed to pivot, and all of a sudden we weren't dealing with a snow day anymore. We were dealing with, okay, we're going to have kids at home. So she and I structured our work days differently so that I would cover the mornings and then she'd cover the afternoons. And then we all pivoted and said, okay, we're going to need to learn what this distance learning thing looks like.
And what did you find out as a result?
We learned that neither of us are meant to be teachers. We do enjoy teaching, but teaching four levels of education, because at that point we did pull our three-year-old out of daycare as well. We just didn't have enough data at that point to decide whether or not it was safe, and we really wanted to close our bubble. So teaching four levels of children was difficult. And we also learned, though, that it was important to give each other grace and to really kind of move the goalposts, if you will, to thinking about what's a success we can all have today. So my five-year-old, for example, learned how to ride a bike over the course of the pandemic. And my 10-year-old's become quite the great pitcher. And my 7-year-old decided he wanted to learn everything he could about World War II history, now 8. So each of the children kind of has something that they can hold on to that they learned during COVID, which I thought was really valuable.
And how did you deal with the space that everybody, you know, for learning at home? Most of our homes are not set up for having school at home. So how did you address that issue?
Well, you'll laugh at this. A 2020 life goal for Heather and I was to move. And lo and behold, on Friday, February 28th, we found a home that had just gone available. And on Saturday, the 29th, we put in an offer. And on Sunday, March 1st, our offer was accepted. So it all happened very quickly that during the pandemic, as things were starting to shut down, our walls were closing in on us because we were packing and getting ready for our move. So we moved. So now my office is right inside the front door, but that's got pros and cons. Again, with the four boys, I end up being the arbiter of any dispute or the umpire on a ball that's thrown inside or outside or the doorbell in and off. I've become a doorman, and often I'm on water duty and other duties as assigned. So it's quite a hoot. And Heather now is upstairs in our bedroom. She's changed it to an office now, and she laughed. She said, "Well, now you can empathize with me instead of mom, it's dad. So we've exchanged roles.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, it's really amazing how you kept your 2020 goal. It came about in such a different way that you could have imagined.
Absolutely, yeah. And it happened so fast. I mean, and the headlines were saying there's aren't going to be houses available, or that, you know, what's it going to be like to look for a house in the pandemic, or what will you have to do if you wear a mask? And I remember elbow bumping. I think that's the term for it now. Elbow bumping the realtor when we found it, and then elbow bumping the closer when we closed on it. But we didn't get to see the seller because everything was kept in private rooms or at different times of the day to provide social distance closing.
Oh, wow, sure. So not only has your home life like totally changed, but also your work life. So your roles at U.S. Bank changed.
Yeah, so during that really unstable period of March, typically we'd call it March Madness for college basketball.
Right.
But it was March Madness because everyone saw demand just cratering. I mean, you and I, Nancy, probably canceled trips or canceled vacations or spring break or whatnot. And as a result of that cratered demand, had the government not stepped in and provided the payroll protection program, it's arguable that 59 million jobs in America would have been lost or would have gone to the unemployment line. So if you think, put that in perspective, 59 million American jobs, that's a dramatic part of our economy. And so my role at the bank rotated to really trying to educate customers around what the PPP program meant. And at that point, we weren't sure that PPP was the only program. There was also the Economic Disaster Recovery Program. There was some changes to 7A. There were delays of payments. So all of us had to go to school in banking to really say, what value can we add to our customers when their underlying businesses are in question as a result of the pandemic?
Yeah, wow. And so that meant for you then that you needed to shift your role.
So
you totally then moved into understanding what PPP is and how it works and how to help people apply for it.
So, and as our sponsor, Sally, would probably explain better, PPP really started with the idea that it was going to replace payroll. And it also was going to originally be an 8-week period of time in which your payroll would be considered. So a business owner would forecast, what's my payroll need going to be for the next 8 weeks? Because initially we thought, well, we'll shut everything down, we'll solve this problem, and then after 8 weeks, we'll come back. Well, here we are now, some 12 to 15 weeks later, and we're not out of this mess. So as we speak today, the House and the Senate are both in session. They were in session all last week. They're in session this week to look at, could there be another round of PPP? And as of 12/24 today, we just don't know if there's going to be another round of PPP. So that's first question. Second question is how could a customer get PPP? Would they get it through the government? Would they get it through a neighborhood development corporation, or would they get it through a bank? And it turns out that the government asked banks and neighborhood development centers to work together to issue PPP loans. So all of this was designed on the fly, and it came together in about a 3-week period.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And this episode will air on August 10th. So I will update the audience on, you know, what the decisions are made. But from your perspective and from what I've read, so another $1 trillion are going to be moved into the economy. It looks like they're going to have a PPP program, and it looks like they're going to give stipends to people, but only for families, you know, who are generating under $75,000. And the PPP program, I'm not sure, you know, I think they're going to expand it in the same way, just to have more people involved, you know, more access to more cash for small business owners.
Yeah, the couple scenarios that I've seen are one scenario that anyone that accepted PPP may be able to simply resubmit that same request again.
Oh, I see.
So that's one scenario that I've seen. Another scenario that I have seen.
So that means that, so if they've taken out a loan, it'll be a forgiven, and then they can apply for another loan?
Correct. Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay.
So another scenario that I've seen is that loans $150,000or less would be forgiven. And I'll tell you, if that were to happen, many, many, many of us would be thrilled, because it would allow conversations with Sally, for example, or conversations with me to go toward what's the future look like and what's next, versus doing the accounting and bookkeeping tasks that you, I think earlier in the podcast, described as being more menial and kind of a pain. We can move those tasks away because it turns out that 86% of the loans were $150,000 or less.
Oh, wow. Okay.
86% of all PPP loans were $150,000 or less.
And
so you think about the number of recipients that received that, and the number of accountants who are providing them advice and bookkeepers who are providing them information, on top of the tax deadlines that also were moved. I feel badly for our accounting friends listening on this call, because I believe that they were swamped. This idea that tax season got moved from April to July, I think it just delayed happiness for a lot of folks, and it created a lot more work for all of us to help our clients receive that very important money.
Yeah, absolutely. So based on all the payroll processing applications that you have put forth, what would be a suggestion for business owners to effectively work with a banker like yourself?
Yeah, one of the things I found with my clients is when I had an accountant or a bookkeeper that I could work with on their behalf to work on the PPP, it always went faster. When the bank when I had to deal with a client who maybe hadn't checked in with their accountant or wasn't on the same page with their payroll provider or their accountant about the need for PPP and about the documentation that we needed for it, it made the process take a lot longer. So that'd be my number one piece of advice is make sure that anyone listening today is really having that conversation with their accountant or with their bookkeeper about what their payroll needs are, what their rent and or mortgage payments are, what their cash flow position looks like, and then how PPP can play a role in helping them optimize their cash flow.
So in terms of working with business owners and helping them work, what are the exact documents that they need, that they should have organized? Their most recent statements?
So it will always depend on the type of business that it is, or the type of ownership that they have, or the type of payroll that they issue. But typically, what we saw was their 941 payroll records, their most recent tax return, their payroll schedule or their payroll report that was either issued by a large payroll provider or sometimes a bookkeeping payroll provider that provides payroll. But anyone that provided payroll for a business owner could generate the reports that that we needed from a banking perspective.
Yeah. So do you work directly with their accountants usually?
Yep.
The information.
Or their bookkeeper. I mean, some of the businesses, to be fair, aren't at the level or the size where they feel they need an accountant. So I want to make sure that we're talking to all of those types of business owners on your listeners today. But most importantly, whoever is processing your payroll should be a part of that discussion with your banker, so that all of the documents and all of the items that are needed relative to your business are easily collected.
Excellent. So is there anything you want to add with the payroll protection program that is needed for business owners before we talk about one part of the business planning that they should be doing right now?
You bet. I think the key for the payroll protection program is all of them probably should have taken your self-awareness mentoring journal, because I think a number of people were scared, humiliated, guilty, resentful, disappointed about the program. But now that we're 8, 10, 12, 15 weeks past whenever clients took it, I think clients are relieved and they're happy and they're excited that was a helping hand or a lift up. And so my closing comment on PPP is stay tuned to what's happening with legislation one. Stay in touch with your accountant or your bookkeeper about what role PPP has had or could have for you. And then last but not least, put ego aside and allow that there's a lot of uncertainty right now around what direction COVID is going to take us on or what ride this roller coaster is going to take us on. And if you anticipate any need for PPP, go ahead and do apply for it, because it can be helpful in helping alleviate some amount of uncertainty to cash flow.
Yeah, absolutely. And keep business owners in business for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
What emergency and pandemic planning would you suggest for the rest of this year and into next year for business owners?
Sure. I think the key there is a cash flow forecast. How much cash does your business generate, and or how much in expenses does your business burn in order to meet that cash flow goal or that cash flow expectation? Because what we have found is a number of our clients and a number of folks asking us about COVID planning hadn't taken this kind of demand hit into account. Customers would say, I can anticipate losing a customer. I can anticipate losing a supplier. I can anticipate losing, a distribution channel. But to have all of those things happen at the same time was just mind-boggling. And so in terms of emergency planning, you know, taking your demand and saying, okay, demand is going to go down 25%. Your supplier base is going to contract by 25%. Or your receivable base is going to contract by 30%. And testing those strategies, that's where a bookkeeper and an accountant can come into play, or even a business consultant who can ask you some tough questions about what's it like if that part of your business goes completely away.
Yeah. So having the numbers, getting into the numbers also is a good place to help work through fear, because a lot of times fear arises right in the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. And so the natural tendency when we don't have concrete information is for us to expand our fear and bring it gets bigger and bigger. And so your suggestions to really dig into the numbers and put together a really maybe different scenarios of a cash flow forecast. So that you can, because we're far enough into it where people are being able to project out, okay, if we stay at this level right now, or if we're operating at 50% because, you know, not everybody can come back in, you know, how long can I sustain a cash flow at this level? How much more expenses do I need to, you know, cut? And are there some other scenarios of ways in which we can bring in new customers?
And there are some really interesting angles to look at this, Nancy, in terms of how did January to March look? A number of our customers from January to March looked fantastic, as if 2020 was going to be one of the best years ever.
Yeah.
And that's the part that makes it so sad is that an event that comes from outside of our control and an event that happens, well, I guess what you'd say, an exogenous event happens. And now April went down, May tanked, and then now June started to come back. So now here we are in August looking back, asking ourselves, what happened in July? That's going to be a very fascinating question. I think one that the entire market is struggling with is, does July tell us where things are going, or does July simply say where things have been? And I'm starting to think out loud that I'm referencing Disney movies. You know, Disney Plus went live, and that was another one of the things you could pass time with the kids. But I feel like I'm quoting Mater from the movie Cars. You know, you don't know where you're going. You just need to know where you've been. And I feel like that's important for the business owner.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily need to know where we're going, but we do need to assess, where were we January to March? Where were we January to May or January to June? And then look at that and then compare it with those same periods last year so that you can really see the impact that all of these demand and supply issues had on the core business.
Nice. Excellent. Okay. I think that's a good place to stop. And you've given some business, you know, us business owners a lot to think about, and I'll follow it up in our conscious, attentive, you know, leadership exercises, so that people can ground the information that you've given us and carve out some new direction for their businesses going forward.
No, that's great.
Thanks so much, Matt. Awesome. And as promised, I would like to tell you how to get information about the Government Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP. Right now, the government has allocated money to small businesses to survive the coronavirus devastation. We're looking that there'll be another infusion into the economy. So it can be intimidating and confusing to figure out the different elements to this, although the government has really simplified the process. With a 15-minute conversation, Sally at Great Lakes Bookkeeping as a profit strategist as a profit strategist can advise whether you should take advantage and apply. And if you decide to go ahead, she can help you with the paperwork. If you are interested, go to the middle of this podcast page and click on her sponsor icon and get help immediately. Great Lakes Bookkeeping, 1-651-208-8151, or you can just type in greatlakesbookkeeping.com and you will get right to Sally Doyle. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frere, brother from another mother. Thanks for doing all that you do for We Mentor to keep it going and to be responsive to the needs that we've had as we've gone along. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I really appreciate you giving me feedback, and start putting some solid comments in the show notes. That's really helpful for me going forward to keep in attuned and abreast of what's going on with you. And suggestions are always helpful. All right, and we'll see you all next week. you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our We Mentor Self-Leadership community. You can subscribe for free through wementor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in these all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a We Mentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in We Mentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out wementor.com. You can email me, Nancy at wementor.com, or call me 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening and we'll see you next week.